What about in the younger, fitter patient, Vince, in terms of options and recommendations in terms of chemo radiation therapy? And what are your thoughts specifically about the 9504 regimen that there's been a lot of discussion about over the last couple of years?
So I think generally if patients have good performance status, you know, no significant weight loss and no comorbidities, we try to give them concomitant cisplatin-based therapy with definitive RT. Even our group and even in individual patients, I'm a little schizophrenic on when I use the posterior docetaxel. The mortality is substantial. It's at least a few percent. You can have some nasty pulmonary deaths. And I generally try not to dose escalate. I'll leave them at 75 per meter squared. I usually do give them a prophylactic Neulasta in that setting. But I tell them there's, you know, probably 50-50, you'll be in the hospital at some point with this. But
even with growth factor?
Yeah, there's other things. You know, the pulmonary infiltrates are a real problem. I've had a patient in the last couple of months die of respiratory failure. And so I do it in a patient whom I want to be aggressive, where a younger patient who's really got through the radiation in pretty good shape, but I do it with trepidation.
The myelosuppression, even with single-agent docetaxel in this setting, is not trivial. I'm a little bit different from Vince. I'll reserve that regimen for super-fit patients. Needless to say, the vast majority are not. Remember, SWOG 9504 was a phase 2, not a phase 3 trial. Had a median survival of 26 months. It's the best we've ever seen. It's an outlier, really. When they use that as their platform regimen in the subsequent trial testing gefitinib maintenance, that median survival dropped to 19 months, 19 or 20 months. We have not seen an update. It was not this fabulous 26 months we had seen previously. So knowing that, knowing in RTOG at least, that we typically see median survivals of 16 to 18 months with a taxol carbo, I'll still tend to use it. I'll give it weekly using the Hock Choi approach, and then either outback give docetaxel or continue taxol carbo at full dose using either the Q3 week or the Bolani regimen with weekly paclitaxel at 80 to 100 per meter squared 3 weeks out of four, and then carbo at an AUC of 6. And I find very few of those patients end up in the hospital, at least from myelosuppression.
Scott?
Chris and I actually talked about this case, and what we talked about, and I don't know whether or not this is logical, but you know, my feeling was in someone who's 80, who has marginal performance status, has other problems, and you want to, A, learn a little bit about the biology of their disease, and B, learn to see how well they're going to tolerate the chemotherapy. My approach has been to start with induction chemotherapy, give them 2 to 4 cycles, and if they respond, are we selecting out those patients that are most likely going to benefit from then the concurrent chemoradiation portion of the treatment, or if they either don't respond or develop metastatic disease or just fall apart with the induction chemotherapy, then you've potentially spared them a modality that they were never really going to benefit from or sort of change the biology or the outcome of their disease.
What regimen do you use?
For the induction chemo? I mean, it depends on the patient. And again, this is sort of, you know, almost class selection.
Let me rephrase that. Do you use cisplatin-based treatment in your 80-year-olds?
Not in 80-year-olds, no.
I agree. I don't either.
And as an aside, I was the pemetrexed fan, but not that many 80-year-olds have a clearance greater than 45, which I think is what's been the package insert.